The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And thank you all for being here this morning and listening to the program. We always appreciate tuning in. It's also, of course, on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 on your cable dial and at pittsfieldtv.org on the web, on your Roku device, various other places, podcasts, video on demand, you name it. You can get this show pretty much everywhere. And we do appreciate you tuning in, whichever way you do. It's Thursday, May 1st already. April is gone. Here comes May, and here comes the really nice weather in the Berkshires. Don't blink, because pretty soon it'll be too hot for you to go outside. But right now, it's nice out. It's, somewhere in the 40s out there, getting warmer today, probably getting up into the 60s, some nice weather. And then, of course, some rain coming as well. We'll find out more about that in the weather forecast in just a moment. We also have a great guest here this morning. We have Dina Lampiazzi. She is the Ward 6 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, a third-term councilor, and lots of stuff to talk about going on in the city and in Ward 6. We're going to find out more about Ward 6 this morning as well, and it's going to be a great conversation. So looking forward to that. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming southwest this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely after midnight. Night is cool with lows around 50. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then partly sunny with showers likely in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I was hearing a little longer range in the next maybe 3 to 5 days or so. A good amount of rain coming in showers and just on and off. Today is going to be really nice, though. It sounds like an upper 60s and sunny. Got to love that. We'll take that any day of the week here. But yeah, longer term, you know, it seems like the nicest days are on Thursdays and Fridays, and then we just get rain on the weekends, and then the next week comes. And yeah, we just like to have some nice weather for the weekends, wouldn't we? Once in a while, or just once in a while.
Yes.
Yeah. So here we are. Dina Lampiazzi, good morning and welcome to the show. Thanks
good
for being
morning.
Here this morning.
Good morning, Sean. I'm happy to be here. I love when I get to come into the studio. Regardless of where it's located, I love coming into the studio.
It's not a bad little studio.
Yeah. I think all of us missed Taconic a little bit, but it's nice to be here.
Yeah, Taconic was a unique experience, wasn't it? Having a radio station in the sort of tucked right into the middle of that building. You really had to search for it to find the studio, but it was there, and it served the function for many years.
For the brief time that I was on the radio, getting to the studio and like navigating the high school as somebody that didn't go to that school and isn't originally from Pittsfield, it was kind of like a labyrinth at times.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Especially where they put it, which was basically you had to walk through a health tech class in order to get to the radio studio.
Yes.
That was the fun part about it.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So when we moved it down here to PCTV, we said, okay, that's it. We're putting a window. We're making sure that it's somewhere that people can find when they walk in, when they first walk in. So that's where we are now, PCTV studio.
Yep.
Well, thanks again for being here this morning. Tell us about yourself and as a third term counselor, how's it going?
Well, thank you for the introduction. This is my third term. We're wrapping it up. I've been having served for 6 years. I've really enjoyed it. Mm. You know, my first term was kind of ruled by COVID.
Yeah.
You know, we
That's right, kind of trial by fire there, right, in that first term.
Yeah, we came in at a time that, you know, just months after the whole world shut down. So that really complicated things. It made government, which inherently works slowly, it made government work slower. But when I look back on that, I'm really impressed by how Pittsfield did. You know, when I talk to colleagues around the state and how they slowed down and how things in their community stopped, Pittsfield didn't do that.
Yeah.
We really kept going. And I think part of that is there were a few of us on the council that were really comfortable with going to Zoom and communicating more digitally. And at the beginning, there were some counselors that wanted to hold off and kind of hit pause. And the rest of us were like, no, we can do this. We've got everything at our fingertips. And it worked out. It you know, there were parts of the community that I think kind of pulled back a little bit more, and it changed how we interact. And I think even today we see that, right? Like, and most people say they're different today than they were pre-COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And how we socialize and prioritize our time. But anyway, that's
Yeah, no, I mean, how can it not change you, right?
Yeah.
That you have such a large change and traumatic change in a lot of ways, you know, and everybody wanted to bounce back from it at the time. I think that was one thing that everybody was genuinely wanted to do. And then at some point they also said, yeah, but, you know, we ought to be careful or, you know, and then there are some things that were learned and changed from that time period too. Right. I mean, probably nobody really knew or most people didn't know how to use Zoom before the pandemic. And then that really became a requirement. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, I think we remember Skype a little bit, but it was mostly Zoom at that time. It was like, well, if you want to continue to interact with people, this is basically the way you're going to do it, including government meetings, right, for a while.
Yeah. And I think in some ways, on a personal level, it helped a lot of us figure out our work-life balance and what we wanted to prioritize. But, you know, over the last 5.5, 6 years, I'd say we've gotten a lot of work done in Ward 6.
Yeah.
We've paved a lot of streets. We've gotten an incredible amount of sidewalks done. I know that for residents, it doesn't feel fast enough. But when it comes to sidewalks, we have to remember that we really neglected and like divested in our sidewalks for like 30 years, right? So a lot of these sidewalks are almost as old as me and they've never been touched. Some of them older, actually. I'm well over 30, by the way. but
sidewalks last a long time.
They last
longer than the roads, right?
They do. But when they go, it's very noticeable because I'm in a stage in life where I notice that, you know, it's not stroller friendly. If you're not pushing a stroller or maybe mobily impaired in some way, you might not notice.
The older ones were not designed to be accessible, for example. So
Anything
new that's being put in will have the sort of the red rubber, you know, ends to them, and they'll be sloped down so that you can easily make your way on and off the sidewalk from the road. Just simple things that we think, okay, well, you have to have that, but there's still a lot of sidewalks that don't meet that standard.
Simple things, but when you have a better experience on a sidewalk and you encounter one like that, and then you come up on an old one, you notice, right? And it feels a lot better. It makes it more usable by the community. So we've gotten a lot of road work done.
And give us an idea, too, about Ward 6 and the sort of dimensions, where Ward 6 starts, ends, what are the major features, schools, parks, things like
that. We've got Gale to West, West to Cascade. Then we're going back to Anoda Lake. We've got lots of parks. We have Dorothy Amos. We have Durant. I'm probably going to miss some here, but we have parks all over. We have a good parks project at Durant happening right now. There's going to be a splash pad.
That's great.
Which is, you know, it's when we were looking at, like, where could this go? What part of the community do we need it? It's hot and dry over there, so we're like, this is the place. they needed one on the west side, so we put one in there. We're going to be and that's really exciting. I've seen the designs for that. We have Taconic High School, we have Conti, we have Crosby.
So out of the 12 schools, you got 3 schools in one ward.
We do.
Two elementaries and one one high school, one vocational high school. So kind of consequential when it comes to the schools.
And I think based on that, that might be why I hear so much from residents about the schools. You know, we do have a school committee, but residents reach out to their city councilors about schools too. So that's been a big conversation lately.
Yeah. for sure. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So many sort of natural features of Ward 6. We think about Pittsfield as an urban center, but when you start to get out to the outsides of that, you realize that Pittsfield is a much more diverse place in terms of, you get some urban, some suburban-looking feeling places, some rural areas, right? You think of BCC and what's out there and West Street, that's in Ward 6, right?
Ward 6 is such a representation of... I think I could even say Berkshire County because we have it all, right? Mm-hmm. We have the urban downtown, we have North Street, we have the West Side, and then we have these really small suburban neighborhoods. And it goes all the way out to your point, like Cascade and like BCC, where it's people have like farms. Mm-hmm. There's farms in Ward 6.
Yeah.
and it's incredible.
Imagine telling someone from Boston that the city of Pittsfield has farms, right? I mean, I guess that's the big thing. Like, how would they even comprehend that? You have a city and you have a farm? We don't get that.
Yeah. Especially not with their city design. Mm-hmm. But it's really incredible. And I think that feeds into, like, how, as a ward counselor, you have to be able to connect with all different parts of the ward and meet those needs. And, you know, with the road rating system that the city has implemented, it's helped us to make sure that the squeaky wheel isn't always getting the most attention, you know, so...
You want to be able to do roads based on whether they need to be done, how, you know, when, what kind of condition they're in, and when was the last time they were addressed.
Right. So a resident or a street thinking they have the worst street in the city, when you compare that with a numerical value based on the actual condition of the street, to others, it's so much easier to justify and explain, like, why we're going to do that street in 6A instead, right?
I think everybody feels like they look out their window and they must have the worst street in the city, right?
Well, when you drive it every day, and it's a very real thing, and there's that one crack that no matter how many times we seal it, it comes back.
Absolutely.
Right? It's our daily experience, so it stands out to people.
Yep. And even if you do, one of the roads I drive on every day is Hancock Road in Ward 7. And, that it wasn't long ago that road was completely reconstructed. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now it's starting to show its age, right? And it's only been maybe 10, 12 years. I don't know exactly. My memory fades a little bit. But, it doesn't take long. And you get enough traffic on a road, some heavy traffic, even if they're not supposed to be trucks and things on the roads, you know, there are. And eventually the frost cycle comes in, as I've talked to the commissioner here on this program a few times about, and it runs havoc with our roads, and you just got to continually keep up on them.
Part of, I think we all understand that we live in New England and we have this frost cycle, and it's a little more intense than it was 30 years ago. But that's a huge contributing factor to our needs on the roads. And also the number of miles that Pittsfield, the city, has to cover compared to other communities. Yeah. You know, I often hear from folks like, I drive through Lanesboro, I drive through Lenox, and they don't have these problems. Mm-hmm. It's because they have state roads and they have fewer roads.
Yeah.
You know, we have a massive amount of area that we have to cover with our funds.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy, but we're doing what we can.
Right. We also have a lot of unaccepted roads in the city, and I don't know about Ward 6, but the other wards certainly have a good number of those, which can be contentious issues sometimes because there are taxpaying residents on these sort of unaccepted streets. They were built during a time when you didn't need to get them accepted by the city for regular utilities and things like that, so... Does the city maintain them? Do they, how does that all work? That occasionally crops up as an issue. I hadn't heard about it recently, but I think it does become an issue for people that live on those streets.
It's tough. It's very frustrating to those folks because, they're paying taxes. They're members of the community in every other way.
Right.
And they have a very expensive problem at their hands.
Yeah.
That's
all in their lap, essentially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough.
So some of the wards, the roads in Ward 6 that are getting some attention, some love this year.
Yeah.
Valentine Road, I'm thinking right away, has got to be top of your list, right?
Oh, my gosh. I drive Valentine Road every day, and I am so excited for this project to close and to have a smoother road.
And what's taken so long on that project? I know we've talked about it with the commissioner before, but there's been a lot of different utility work and things like that going on.
There's been a lot of different utility work. And then also we have to let that work settle before we can put a new road on top of it. And that takes time. We don't want to put down a new road and, you know, have it become unlevel and show age that isn't existent.
I know that's one of the areas where you have some underground utilities like power and that Eversource was doing some work under there. So that all had to get done first, right?
Everything is underground. Yeah. And when you drive up Valentine, for those that live on the other side of town and aren't coming out our way, when you drive Valentine, you'll see that there's different parts of the street that are paved more recently. Mm-hmm. There's patches all over the place. It's not a great situation right now. But in the end, once all these underground utilities are taken care of and we have that smooth surface, I'm sure the next conversation will be people are driving too fast because we have a beautiful road and there's a school there.
Yes.
Right. Before all of this started, that was the chief complaint that I would get about Valentine. Mm-hmm. So as much as I look forward to having this cleared up so that we're not talking flat tires anymore, I know that that's going to be the next conversation.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of talk about traffic calming measures.
Yeah.
We hear that phrase quite a bit in the city.
Yep.
And you can't just put new speed limits on streets and expect them to be enforced. That involves getting traffic studies done, right? And sometimes when you do the traffic study, you realize that the actual traffic is moving faster on that street. So you may end up with a speed limit that's faster than you want. There are other things that you can do, like speed bumps and speed humps. How do you feel about doing things like that? Because I don't think we have any in Ward 6 right now, right?
We don't. And there are places where I really would like them. Mm-hmm. And this is based on conversations I've had with residents. But for various reasons, they don't fit into a good place to use them, or they're expensive. The places that we have used them are mostly more narrow streets. A speed hump, for example, it's a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the small neighborhoods that I think of that could really benefit from this, it's a wider street. So that's difficult. But I think they do have a place. Have some of them throughout the city been a little bold?
Mm.
I think so.
Yeah.
And we're hearing about that.
I think about Oak Hill and Partridge Road area and the number of speed bumps and the severity of them is, I don't know, maybe excessive.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing.
Now, if you're living there on Oak Hill and Partridge Road, you know, people can completely, you know, put yourself in their shoes for a minute. It's basically a speedway, right? It's a bypass of getting around, you know, from Pittsfield to Lanesboro, and people do, you know, exceed the speed limit on a residential area. So we can totally understand why they would want it.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, though, about things like emergency services. If you're trying to get a fire truck or an ambulance down, you know, you got 10 or 12 speed bumps, and, you know, are you really going to get someone there in time or to a hospital in time? That's the kind of thing I would worry about.
Absolutely. And it's difficult navigating areas like those. And I think of Churchill, which has been a conversation, you know, these entire 5.5 years, right, that I've been in office, and I'm sure my predecessors had the same. And that's because it goes from extremely rural, where the homes are very spaced out and there's farms and things, to a more thickly settled neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And along the entire stretch of the street, people walk. People of all ages, I see them walk. So we just did a traffic study again on Lower Churchill, and we're looking at some things there. And again, it's that scary conversation of, if we do this, is the recommendation going to be that we have to increase it?
Yeah.
And the reason why I felt confident there is because it's so thickly settled, you can't possibly justify increasing the speed limit at this area leading up to a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that we can bring
The lower part of Churchill, I guess you'd call it, near to West Street.
Near West. Yeah. You're coming off of West in that lower part before you get far out.
Right.
So that's been a big conversation. And, you know, there's other parts of the city like West Street that we've talked a lot about. And there's some work coming to West Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment, because that's, I think, of interest to a lot of people. And, you know, Valentine Road, I would imagine a lot of people in the city use Valentine Road, even if you don't live in and around there. Again, it's one of those bypass kind of an area. I happen to live on part of that bypass, that people come from the north of the city, and it's the typical down Hancock Road, up over Highland, up over Valentine, and now you're onto the west side of the city. So you can go over Jason and get to Route 20, or you can go into downtown. Right. But that is a very heavily traveled road. I think a West Street is one of those also, where you know, it's like the intersection of West and West, which doesn't make any sense, but it is. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows where that is, right? Right when you pass the big Y and you're trying to either go back into the west side of Pittsfield or over into down toward BCC and Taconic High School, right?
Yeah.
That intersection is a kind of a critical piece.
Yeah, yeah. That intersection has been really the impetus to the changes that are coming. There was a fatality that happened to a young mother right by the park.
Yep.
So, you know, not to be reactive, but it showcased the fact that crosswalks are not enough when we don't have enough of them.
Sidewalks are not enough.
Yeah. What else is going on down here? It's not just that the paint was maybe a little bit faded.
Mm.
What else could be going on? And that's where we get into the conversation about road diets
and
how long it takes a pedestrian to cross the street, right? So how often do you see somebody trying to cross a busy road and they're sort of like standing off in the wings, but they're not really in a breakdown lane. They're in the road.
Yeah.
Nobody's hitting them because the road is so wide, right? So how do we limit the space that they have to cross to make it faster and safer?
A certain amount of predictability needed also, right? Like for drivers and for pedestrians and bicyclists, is that you need to sort of know when you come to an intersection, okay, what's my role here? Where am I going? I'm trying to get that way. Where do I go? And that particular intersection, you mentioned how wide it is.
Yeah.
You know you have to have your head on a swivel there, right? You have to look over here, and it's kind of a weird way to look down. Was it Government Drive or whatever the flyover is over on that side? And are cars, you know, coming at a really rapid pace toward you? Are you going to have to jump out really quick to get to take that left? Or as you're doing that, is someone coming from your left side going straight and doesn't have their blinker on or does have their blinker on? It's a very confusing set of circumstances.
And there's, you know, for those of us that have been working on this and naturally drive it on a daily basis, there's something that happens there where those that are coming toward West and West, right, like toward Government Drive, but they're going to take probably that right turn up West. And those coming down the hill, there's something that happens when there's a line of traffic where they speed up.
Yeah.
When particularly when they're not taking a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this mentality of, nobody's going to get in front of me. I want to get where I'm going.
Yeah, better take the chance now while I still can, right?
Yeah, and I think it's just a response. I don't think people mean to do it, but it's a natural response, and we need to implement strategies that will curb that, right?
So it's really just an outdated design of that particular intersection, and maybe the intersection grew in terms of, you know, how much it's used over the years from when it was originally put in. Sounds like we're going to get some signalization there.
Yes.
That's one of the things, and maybe some narrowing of the road. Those are all on the table.
Narrowing of the road, some signals. There was talk of the bike lane that has to go in. I don't know where we are on that part of it. It's been back and forth. But all in all, it's going to slow traffic. It's going to make traffic safer for the camp that happens there over the summer. Last summer, we had some barriers to kind of diet the road. Folks didn't like that. And I think that's because they weren't natural, right? We just need the structure to be clear and have a smaller street. So we're hoping to have that done this year. I think it will be starting later. I don't have a date on that, but it's expected for 25.
Change can be hard, but ultimately what you want to see is some improvement and some safety. You know, we just had a situation over on Barker Road just this past week where a pedestrian was hit and killed, and it's just an awful situation. We don't even know what the details of that are yet, but there's a lot of, you know, safety issues that we have to deal with, and people should be able to walk or bicycle safely in the city. And we need to, you know, continue our efforts, I think, to do that. And the commissioner seems to be dedicated to that end as well.
Yeah.
Dina Lampiazzi is my guest here on the morning program. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. She is the Ward 6 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. We're talking about Ward 6 issues and greater Pittsfield issues, as every city councilor in the city of Pittsfield votes on all the issues, not just the ones in their ward, right? But there are certainly the way it's laid out, 7 wards and 11 councilors. The ward issues do get a good amount of weight on the city council, and that's kind of a good thing because those local issues get a good look, and there are people representing each one of those wards sitting in one of those seats in the council. So it's not a bad plan, I think, overall. Yeah. Let's talk about something that deals with the sort of the greater city, and I'm sure Ward 6 as well, some of the short-term rental issues. And everyone's familiar with Airbnb and Vrbo and things like that, kind of a revolution in terms of how people go on vacation or rent homes, instead of going to a hotel, they're going to somebody's private home that they're putting up. But that creates some other issues, right? And you're the chair of the Ordinances and Rules Committee of the City of Pittsfield's City Council. You've been dealing with this issue. Sort of give us a little background on this. Why are we working on an ordinance right now for short-term rentals?
Put simply, we don't have one. Hmm. And we're seeing short-term rentals increase in popularity. We are a vacation destination. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we have a policy around this so that to prevent corporations, for example, from coming in and buying a lot of properties and turning them all to short rentals. Mm. That's like the overarching protection that we're trying to create.
Because generally right now we think of Airbnb as somebody who just owns a home or owns a second home or whatever and wants to make a few bucks, and renting it out or whatever. But the other side of the coin is what you just said, that you could have larger corporations sort of making this a much bigger business and taking advantage of places that don't have rules and regulations set up to adequately deal with it.
Yeah, and that's something that's happening in the housing market in general. We're seeing large groups buying the homes that are on the markets. Mm-hmm. And as a bigger housing and fiscal conversation, that is really detrimental to the middle class and the blue collar that are looking to purchase homes. So this is a way to protect us. Mm-hmm. And also, community development took a really close look at how do we make this so that residents who own homes, Pittsfielders, can make some extra cash. Mm-hmm. And the policy has been designed for that. And that's something that I was really pleased to see that Pittsfielders were put first and foremost.
Well, and I can think of our listeners in Lee and Lenox and South County who are listening to us on 88.1 and, of course, on WTBR. They've been through this already in a lot of ways because that issue hit them earlier, right, in a lot of ways. And they've been, a lot of ordinary working folks have been pushed out of being able to own a home because, A, the rates have gone way up in terms of the valuations of their homes, sort of the gentrification of South County, for example. I don't know if a lot of that has hit Pittsfield just yet, but I'd say it's much more of an issue there. And then, they have, talk about a destination vacation area, South Berkshire, probably kind of leads that in terms of the entire county. Yeah. And to then lose more and more of your housing stock to short-term rentals means where are people going to live to work and do these things in the community, right? So I think that is making its way to Pittsfield.
Absolutely. Some of the features of the policy as put forward, we just passed it in Ordinances and Rules, but it'll go to the full council for our next meeting. The short-term rental can't go for more than 30 days at a time, which is extremely realistic for a short-term rental. Mm.
So 30 days in a year, or is it 30 days in one block?
In one block.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also, it can't be rented more than, I think it's 150 days a year to classify as a short-term rental. Mm-hmm. And something that I brought up to Director Dodds in Community Development was, well, what about workforce development housing and, folks that maybe they're students or residents at BMC and they're only here for a very short period of time.
Yeah, or traveling nurses or something
Sabbath,
like that.
Or traveling nurses. Mm-hmm. There's all of these different employers that have this class of employee or student. And that's something that they're working on, which will be separate from this. So it hasn't been completely missed for those that, like me, are wondering, wait, are we pricing them out? Because aren't those the people that might be Airbnb right now? So that's good.
It's a complicated issue, right? I mean, no doubt about it, that once you start regulating, you start putting numbers to things. You say certain number of days here, certain number of days there. Now you're putting these down for people who maybe didn't have any rules before. They're like, going to push back on that. They're saying, well, you know, you're really interfering with my ability to use my property the way I want to. But all those things have impacts with neighbors, right? And with the other neighborhood around. Not to say that all Airbnb owners are negligent or, you know, not interested in what happens with their neighbors. But, you know, it does have impacts.
It does. And it's something that where we can, we just have to create some buffers, right? I would say, too, that the communication between community development and figuring this out has been with the mind of anticipating these next questions that will come up.
Mm-hmm.
So as we move forward, I think it's important that, you know, if residents want to come to the city council meeting to voice any concerns they have, there, once it's implemented, there will be a 9-month period to come into compliance for some of the regulations that have to be met.
Okay.
For those that have an existing Airbnb.
Right.
And the intention of that was to give them more time.
Mm.
Right. So we don't want to be coming up on the high rental season saying, sorry, you can't operate.
Which here we are, right?
It's here May. We are, mm-hmm. right. So we have to give that buffer period. And then also, if it requires investment, they'll have that seed money from the summer to apply to it.
Yeah. So that is coming. And if you're interested in voicing your concern or interest in any of that, it's probably at the next city council meeting, which is not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, I believe.
Yep.
It's usually the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. So it's gone through ordinances and rules. It's passed there. Do you expect it to pass at city council? Do you think it has the votes for that?
I mean, I haven't talked to anybody else about it, but at ONR, it went pretty smoothly. It's a well-written policy. It's comparable to others that have been successful in other communities like ours.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no big bumps that I anticipate.
Yeah. Dina Lampiazzi is my guest here this morning. We've reached that halfway point in the show already, and we'll take our little break to identify our station and to thank our underwriters, and we'll be back with Morning Drive in just a moment. This is 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs. Eatsa Pizza is back. Join PCTV and WTBR for the biggest and tastiest pizza event around, May 15th at Berkshire Hills Country Club on Benedict Road in Pittsfield. Enjoy pizza from Shire Tavern, The Locker Room, and much more. And you get to decide who will win the People's Choice Award. Eatsa Pizza at Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 15th. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under in advance. Get your tickets now at pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support for Eatsa Pizza comes from Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. Plan your meals out in advance and shop for the week. This will deter you from spending more than you planned.
Pay yourself first. Think of your savings like a bill you pay monthly. This way you can be ready. when life happens.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee and watching us on 1301 Access Pittsfield on cable. Welcome to the show and welcome back to the show, I guess I should say, on Thursday, May 1st. Dina Lampiazzi is my guest here. She is the Ward 6 City Councilor in her third term on the City Council, and we're talking about Ward 6 issues and other greater issues affecting the city of Pittsfield. We'll get back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's go to our weather forecast from the National Weather Service, those great folks at the National Weather Service that our taxes pay for, and listen to what they have in store for us today. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming southwest this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely after midnight. Night is cool with lows around 50. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then partly sunny with showers likely in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, so kind of a nice day today. Enjoy that while you can on a Thursday. We're getting rain tomorrow, rain over the weekend, and I hear rain into early next week, but on and off. So, you know, enjoy it while you can. That's what you have to do here at the early springtime that we have. We're kind of mid-spring by now. But getting into the really nice weather, I think, for Berkshire County, that's the beauty when you hit May 1st, is that the snow, I'm not going to say snow anymore. I'm just not going to say it. It was only a couple weeks ago I was still saying snow was in the forecast, and I'm not saying that anymore. I think we're finally done. You can maybe put your plants out almost safely. Yeah. Now we're getting there. We're getting there. All right. Dina Lampiazzi, thanks again for being here this morning. Appreciate you joining us on the show, talking about all this stuff, expanding the kinds of information that people get if they're only watching the City Council. They only get little snippets of some of the things that we talk about here on Morning Drive.
And so much work happens behind the scenes.
I would imagine.
You know, we receive a packet for a full council meeting. On the low end, on those nights where we have record early nights, maybe 200 pages or something. Mm. And then we've had packets that have been upwards of 600 pages.
Wow.
Not recently, but it's a lot of information to digest. And, you know, you have to talk to department heads. And
it's not like watching Entertainment Tonight either. It's kind of thick, heavy stuff, right?
It is. It is. Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of stuff going on in the city, and those are the kinds of things. And you don't know necessarily when you sign up as a city councilor what issues are going to come across your desk. You might have some priorities as a city councilor, mm-hmm. and maybe as a candidate for city council, of things you'd like to see done. And then I would imagine you get in the seat and you realize that there are things coming at you that just have to get dealt with that you weren't really expecting. Did you have some of those curveballs come at you that you weren't seeing as a candidate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
obviously COVID
being the biggest one. COVID, my first term, it really changes the conversation.
Sure.
Right now, where we are, we all kind of knew that the federal administration that we have now is a possibility.
Mm.
I think a lot of people didn't think it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the air of caution on fiscal issues that we're going to encounter. Now we're realizing that it's real, right? So that's kind of changed. I think it's going to continue to change some of our priorities in terms of what we can afford, how we're able to gain funding for certain projects based on what can be a difficult administration to work with, mm-hmm. in terms of what they're looking for in applications, mm-hmm. or what we're allowed. Are we allowed to say the word woman in a application? No, we're not.
I can't even. I don't know how to react to that. Right? Like, how do you not do some of the basic things?
If you have a public health program, for example, that is helping low income women,
mm-hmm.
That are perhaps pregnant, we're not allowed to talk about it in that way. Mm-hmm. So how do you gain funds for those things when you can't use the words of what they are?
Well, some of the bigger issues might be also.
Yes, that's not a local as local.
No, that's fine.
But
it obviously has a local impact, right? I mean,
absolutely.
The kinds of things we're talking about nationally. I know I've talked to people before that say that they won't bother with anything that doesn't hit their doorstep, right? If the issue doesn't hit, they're not going to pay attention to it.
Oh, it's on our doorstep.
It
now.
Is right here, right?
Yeah.
And I think of the funding for schools, for example.
Yes.
That could be a major, major problem if for some reason that's pulled back or clawed back. How does Pittsfield or any other city in Massachusetts, any other town in Massachusetts, run their schools without that kind of help?
Yeah, the cost of educating students today is so different than it used to be. Part of it is that we have better diagnostics to know what's going on with our students.
Mm-hmm.
There's other societal reasons why our students need more investment,
mm-hmm.
right? They're more expensive. There's higher need. And without that funds, it makes our job incredibly difficult, and as a parent, it's really concerning. For me, as a current city councilor and candidate for another term, I come at this really as just a community member who's a person of my age that's worried about retirement someday. It's pretty far down the road, but
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure we're building a community.
It's closer than you think.
I know. But I want to make sure that we're building a community that my young children now can thrive in and that I can retire in and have a good life.
Yeah.
Right? And that's really the basis of who I am as a candidate, mm-hmm. and as a counselor. What are we doing for older people and our kids?
And that's kind of the basis for local government also, right? As much as the big issues that we get talked about on the federal or even the state level do impact us, it's the decisions that are made at the city council and the school committee level that affect us on a day-to-day basis, how our trash is picked up, whether we have clean water, good roads to drive on, whether our schools are educating our children. All those things are made really right here, those decisions made here.
Absolutely.
So while we're talking about the schools, mm-hmm. we might as well throw in there, obviously, the building project at Crosby is going to be a very impactful thing for Ward 6, but also for a really good chunk of the city.
Mm-hmm.
That will be replacing, if it goes through, of course, which there are lots of hurdles still yet to be achieved there. That will replace potentially Conti and Crosby schools and building two new schools on that site.
Yeah.
What's your outlook for that?
You know, we're in a position to keep moving the project forward. You know, we want to finish the study, get some designs going,
mm-hmm.
and as a community figure out how we're going to do this. You know, Crosby is in literally like in my neighborhood. It's my neighborhood school.
And it's
such a beautiful property. The idea of bringing Conti over there and then opening up that building for another potential use for
mm-hmm.
the city,
mm-hmm.
and bringing all of our students together in a place that is state of the art,
mm-hmm.
and intended to bring our kids to the highest level they can reach.
Yeah.
That's really exciting to me. You know, I want to see this project go forward.
Yeah. Out of the 12 schools that Pittsfield operates right now, those are two of the oldest and most out of date schools. I think that's been proven out by the School Building Needs Commission. Obviously, the state has agreed and has put us in the pipeline to get that that done. So the next steps in that process, actually, the city council will have kind of a major role in this fairly soon, sometime this year, right? When the the plans or whatever for a feasibility study come to the city council, and the city council decides on whether to fund that study or not. That's the next step.
Yes, that's the next step. And how we got to this point is, you know, as a community, we came together and identified how we would like to move forward. You submit an application to the state, and they kind of assess what you have going on in your city. And they agreed with us that this should be our priority. This is the right path. Mm-hmm. We're on the right track. So once that's submitted and we find out where we are, you know, and when you look at both of the schools and you see things like tape on the windows, you go inside and they're just boiling hot, or they're open space classrooms that are so loud. Mm-hmm. The tape on the windows is because there's asbestos in the windows.
Yeah.
We have to be very clear about that. It's not just that we're not changing windows. It's that is a very expensive investment, and it's a dangerous one.
Right.
So the safest thing is to put tape on them.
Mm. And to not have them not function, essentially.
Yes, and have them not function. And that creates airflow problems and a variety of stuff.
And that school, Crosby, was built at a time, it was actually built as a junior high school.
Yeah.
And then at some point in its history, probably 20 or something years in, was converted over to an elementary school, right? So again, it's being used really not in its original design properties.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to run an elementary school there, you're really kind of fumbling around and trying to, you know, make things out of spaces that weren't designed for it.
Exactly. It's not built with the mind of like thriving tiny people.
Yeah. And it's older, 65 years old, which is old for a school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really important that we just have a great space to teach our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the generations before us, the boomers, they had brand new schools.
Yeah.
And part of the success that the boomer generation has had is that they had this educational experience where it was a focus on public education and getting them to the next stage of life.
Yeah.
And they had all the tools at their fingertips.
Yep. And it was their parents, the greatest generation, that saw the need for this, right, and put it all into place. I can't imagine they rising to the occasion of, you know, getting through World War II and then realizing that we have this huge population bubble coming through, and we don't have enough schools. We don't have enough transportation. We don't have enough, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
They rose to it, and they built all this stuff. But now that infrastructure is starting to age out.
Yeah. And you know, when I hear pushback from folks about the cost of education or not wanting more buildings, I try to remind them of that right now our kids are learning in like a hand-me-down situation that doesn't fit the modern world.
Yeah.
And we just need to do better for them.
Well, and potentially this plan will reduce the number of school buildings that we will have, right? So if this this first one at least will eliminate one school, it'll merge Conte and Crosby into two different schools on one campus. But basically you'll have, you know, one piece of infrastructure to work with. And then that plan hopefully can be duplicated in other parts of the city in the longer range so that you will start to reduce the number of buildings that maybe we just don't need as many buildings as we had before.
Yeah,
and that will save the taxpayers some money.
Absolutely. And I think for those of us that grew up going to neighborhood schools and you know, like it being one group of kids from one neighborhood that goes for their education together, it's hard for us to realize sometimes that the world's just different.
Mm.
Population is different. Not as many people are having children. So it's not really possible to do that anymore. And I think maybe by doing it this way, too, we avoid some of that difficulty in the later years when we bring the kids together because they'll have already started together.
Yeah.
And the idea of the grade shift that's on the table, and I like the way this was put by somebody, keeping our babies for longer, you know, keeping the younger kids lower together for longer. I think that's great.
Mm.
You know, there's no reason to be in a high school out of sixth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of districts have been forced to do that, actually, in Berkshire County as well. They have sixth, seventh, eighth graders at their high school buildings and usually segregated into different areas. But still, You know, this would be a way of keeping, as you said, maybe fifth and sixth graders in all from all over the city in one building, and then they move to seventh and eighth grade in another building, and then choose the high school that they want to go to after that.
I think that's great, especially what we're seeing with how technology is used now and different things that kids have access to.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily feel comfortable with those younger kids around bigger kids that mm-hmm. are finding these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously those are a couple of big things that the school committee will be working on. And of course the city council is connected with that in terms of funding the school budgets and funding the feasibility study that a building will happen. There are lots of things that the school committee will handle on their own, but of course they're also in a transition period right now where they'll be hiring an interim superintendent for probably a year mm-hmm. and then finding a permanent superintendent to guide this kind of stuff through. Are you concerned about whether they'll be able to manage all of these sort of very large projects during the next year or two for the city?
We need more candidates. If you're listening and you care about our city and you care about our schools, please run the school committee. It's that simple. We don't have enough people running. There's a lot of work to be done. It's a two-year commitment mm-hmm. to really make an important impact on our city. That's my answer to that. Because there aren't enough minds at the table to choose from right now mm-hmm. that I can confidently say that. However,
there's plenty of opinions.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of that.
We have a lot of opinions.
Do we have people that are willing to step up and make those decisions?
Right. And mm-hmm. we need that. and it's fair to the electorate to have more options, to really see what kind of future, you know, a menu of future options mm-hmm. and pick what they think is best for our city. So we'll see. But on the other side of it, do I have faith that here in the city we'll figure it out and we'll get it done? Yes.
Yeah.
I guess the simple answer then is yes. Please run and yes.
It's been a difficult time, and certainly, you know, it's been a hit to the confidence, I think, of the public schools, and I think they probably all are feeling that at this point. So it might be a while before we gain that back.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, I've talked about this a lot at our council meetings and with residents.
Because you have children that will be making their way to these schools. You have you have some skin in the game.
I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And I'm looking at this in terms of if my kids were in certain grades right now, if they were in the school system right now, would I feel comfortable? The answer is no.
Mm.
And then to that, well, when will I feel comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Strictly speaking, as a resident and a mom, I need more answers about what happened, how it happened, and how we're going to avoid it in the future. Mm-hmm. To me, it's not enough to say it will be new bodies in the seats. Everything's going to be okay. It won't happen again. That's not an answer. You can't, you know, in your personal life or your professional life, nowhere is it acceptable to say, I changed a couple things. I'm not going to answer any questions. It won't happen again.
Mm.
I think any of our spouses would accept that as an answer. Usually you require a bigger discussion about something. So I think it's really important that we be transparent, and that's how we build trust. Is it true that whatever version is released is not going to please everybody? That's always true.
Yeah.
But to the people that are looking at this objectively, that yes, there's employment law, but there's also child safety that we're discussing, and where can we meet in the middle
right.
to show that the city is making a good faith effort to let the community know. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, I can understand the other side of the issue also, which is that if people have participated in the investigation in PHS and they've had their names and situations and things listed in a report, and then the report comes out, how eager will people be to openly participate in a future investigation if they know that they will be putting themselves at risk by doing so? I think that's to me the crux of the other side of the issue.
No, and that's a very, very important aspect of the conversation. And that's where, you know, I think things like redactions, executive summaries, something that gives us enough information to know that a legitimate investigation was done.
Yeah.
Right? And that's all we're asking for. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's easier said than done, but as I said in the council meeting, this can be done differently and it can be done better. And I think that was made clear when the Office of Records from the state said that we have to release the report.
Right.
You know, it's not enough just to put our hand up and say the conversation's over.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah. So this story hasn't been written yet completely. We're still waiting to find out what is going to be released and when. Exactly. So we'll find that out shortly. Hopefully we'll find out. Dina Lampiazzi is my guest here. She is the Ward 6 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. And with the remaining time that we have in the show, let's talk about the upcoming budget season, because obviously here it is May 1st, and by July 1st, we will have a budget for the next fiscal year for the city in place. So a lot will happen between those 60 days, including lots of hours of time sitting, reading budgets and things like that. You've been through that a couple times already before. What priorities do you have coming up for this budget season?
You know, I'm really focused on how do we make our money go further? How do we make sure that we're funding the right positions? Not that we can make line item changes on the council, but I'm looking for a truly responsible budget. And in my conversations with Mayor Marchetti, that is what's being put forward to us. Mm-hmm. There are departments that have had admirable cuts, they've put forward very responsible budgets. Mm-hmm. And I think the community is going to see that. At the end of the day, though, nothing's getting cheaper.
Right.
And I think
the needs are not getting smaller either.
Exactly. Right? So we have, you know, the cost is almost growing exponentially to do business as usual. And we just have to accept that's part of business. But mm-hmm. I also want to make sure that any projects that we're, you know, looking to fund, we're realistic about, is the money there for them and will it be there? And when I say that, I mean, what money from the state is being clawed back via the federal government, right? And we need to approach this, I would say, kind of offensively.
Mm. Yeah. And those funding choices from the federal government could affect us where we talked about the schools. Obviously, that's a real big hit if some of that happens.
Schools, CDBG money. You know, we fund nonprofit groups mm-hmm. to do work that we deem important here in the city to help our residents in need. That money down the road may not be there. Mm-hmm. And I think,
how about things for road work or for water improvements or things like that? A lot of that comes from the feds?
Yeah. Most of that comes from the feds, mm-hmm. right? There's often a match grant that we get. Mm-hmm. So road work, again, we've got to be really responsible with the streets that we're picking. And this is where...
So how do you make a budget now? And this is something I'm even dealing with here at PCTV, when we have such uncertainty going forward, where you say, well, we're going to make our best guess, but anything could happen in those 12 months, right? How do you even help make those decisions? And I know we'll have Mayor Marchetti on to talk about that.
And I don't want to speak to his process, but I'll say it, as a counselor, it goes to communicating to the administration what you hope to see. Mm-hmm. And I think we are all on the same page about this, and really funding those areas of the city that we need to put the pedal to the metal, because we don't know what's going to happen after this budget session, right? And just making those strategic investments in the city.
Yeah. It's all you can do is best case scenario, and then also know that it could potentially go south, right?
You know, I think in a lot of ways in life, I kind of live by the mentality of there's only a plan A because you're going to make it happen and you're focused. But the reality is that there's always a plan B.
Mm.
You always have something in the back of your mind about, if this doesn't work out, how am I going to navigate it? And I think that's important. It's almost like I don't want to say a shadow budget, but if all of this money gets cut, we're down to a skeleton.
Mm.
What's the priority? Yep.
Well, and as we mentioned before, you know, cuts to departments mean a lot of times cuts in services. And these are services that people have been accustomed to.
Yeah.
To have to know that the city does this for us. And what are we going to do if the city doesn't do that for us?
Yeah. Meeting our unique needs as the city that we are, but also in that case, recognizing what we can do without. And I would say also, really, it's well, I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to go on a tangent on this.
Fair enough. Dina Lampiazzi is my guest here this morning, and we've got about a minute left. We didn't really touch on the North Street redesign. You got any thoughts about that and a very brief method, how that's going to work out?
Yeah. So I will say quickly, the community was pretty clear that if we're going to have bike lanes, we want them to be protected away from the cars. Mm-hmm. And the redesign options reflect that. And I think that that's a positive step forward. Making downtown more pedestrian and business friendly is always the goal. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen is that for our community, the current design wasn't it. When I think about other communities with bike lanes that are, you know, closer to the sidewalk or between trees and a sidewalk or the different configurations, those are downtowns that I like to be in.
Yeah, and we want Pittsfield to be a downtown you like to be in.
We do, and we have a aging population that isn't used to a lot of these bike lanes.
Right.
Like some of us younger people that have lived in cities, it's different. It's a different experience.
And we got to leave it there. Dina Lampiazzi, yeah. Ward 6 City Councilor, thanks so much for being here. How do they get in touch with you if they want to call you?
413-433-8654.
All right, everybody, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Just get in my car. Drive where you want to go. I'll head to